morning and welcome on in. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We talk golf with you every single Saturday on a little bit early today for White Sox baseball. We'll take you all the way up until 10:30. We'll check in with our buddy James Colgan from golf.com. He's down at Augusta and he's got a nice little surprise for us as well that we're going to talk to him about. Cannot wait for that. That's coming up at 10 o'clock today. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. One thing on the mind right now this time of year, and that is the Masters. And boy, the carnage and chaos as we came down to the wire. You know, I was texting my buddies because they asked me, like, what do you think the cut line is going to be? I said, I think it's going to be 4. And it was looking like 4 for the longest time. And then I was like, wow, it moved to 5. Oh, it's at 6 now. How many double bogeys on 18 did we see that just bumped guys, which looked like at the time was off the cut line? And now all of a sudden they were on the cut line and good to go for today because of that. I mean, we saw Matsuyama get in by the skin of his teeth. He's about to tee off right now. Just all these different guys that looked like they weren't going to make it. And then all of a sudden that cut line moved another stroke. And these guys were comfortably in a stroke or two at that point.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. What a week it actually has been. And it culminated with yesterday's round being the most treacherous, the most severe that I've ever seen. And how many times, Tyler, have we talked about the players can play in rain, but how much they have such disdain and a trepidation and the whatnot when the wind starts to go? And did it howl in Augusta yesterday? And for those who've never been there, Augusta is basically built on a giant hill. And everything leads down to Ray's Creek and Amen's Corner. But as you make that journey back up from the Amen Corner, when you're playing, basically you turn out of 16 and 17 and 18, you're climbing back up the hill. The wind was absolutely unreal. And what it did, it baked out the greens at 17 and 18. Mm-hmm. So if you were in front of the hole on 17, thinking that's where you want to leave the putt, you just couldn't stop it when it got to that back plateau. And a lot of players saw that. And the double bogeys and the carnage began. And 18 was off the charts ridiculous. You know, there were triple bogeys made, let alone doubles. And to your point, it changed a lot. And I saw some of the players Friday. Absolutely, you could tell that they had basically given up. They thought they were on the outside of that cut line.
Yeah.
And yet they're just about to tee off.
Right. It's really astonishing how all of that sort of changed in the course of what, about half hour, 45 minutes, right, down the stretch there. And you brought up the point of the wind. That was, I mean, it was killer out there. It was knocking balls down. It was overshooting greens, all of that stuff. And we saw and you bring up the undulation of Augusta as well. There are many times where you may be hitting a shot where you're at more of the valley of the course, and you don't feel any wind. You don't know where the wind's coming from. But when your ball takes flight and when you do get it above the hills, that's when the wind's going to take over.
100%. And if we saw one time, we saw it many, many times, that guys backed off. Not once, not twice, but three times and even four times because of that big gust. They were having gusts of 40 miles an hour and sustained winds between 20 and 25. They were right on the line. I mean, they had a tough decision to make because if, in fact, they take the players off the course and then allow them to come back, whether it's today when the conditions are so much calmer, well, now you have an unfair, a playing field. But what those guys were, to your point, that half hour, it got crazy. And the wind was the highest it was. In fact, you know who nailed the forecast spot on? Our Tracy Butler.
Indeed she did.
She called it 100%. Just like the way she putts, she was dead solid perfect.
She told us about the rain that was going to come in on Thursday and that the wind was going to be gnarly for the first 2 days. And I think the perfect encapsulation of that is the 15th hole. Because we saw early in the morning when guys were finishing up their rounds and had to go through 15, just like Jordan Spieth did.
Yeah, how about Jordan's role?
Little 9 on 15, and then you still have to go out and play, what is that, 21 more holes after that? And like, we saw a lot of doubles on 15 early on in the morning. Then in the early afternoon, it was a pretty friendly hole. A lot of birdies on 15 and on a gettable par 5 there. And then you see later on, that's the carnage stepped back up. at the end of the day. And back came the double bogeys.
And you know what's amazing about Jordan Spieth's 9 on number 15 is the fact that it started out beautiful. He had two awesome shots. Now he's just, he has wedge. And then the fun began, and it didn't hold. And so then, you know, the circus goes, and the next thing you know, you're walking off with a 9. And I just felt for the guy. But you know what? We all have been there. It has happened to all of us. There are days, no matter how hard you fight and the elements are going, you just, you can't get things to get back in sync. That's why what I watched Ludvig Åberg and, you know, Nikolai Højgaard do yesterday, I was so impressed because these guys are rookies and they made it so look so easy. And another guy that made it look so easy was the guy on the top of the leaderboard, Max Homa. It looked like he played a different golf course.
Well, he may have. Like, I mean, it felt like Homa went off at the perfect time.
He did.
Yesterday. Like, he got the benefit of the timing, and that's why he was able to gain strokes on the field while everyone else, it felt like, was losing strokes on the rest of the field.
Oh, no doubt. And you know, the guys that are here that made the cut, when they did miss, they missed in the right spots. Those that didn't miss in the good spots are those that aren't playing today. And there were some just awful shots hit. And as a result, some big numbers were made. But I'll tell you, and it's been, what, 8 minutes that we're into the show, and we have yet to say the word Tiger. How impressive was he?
Yeah.
And he may have been a bit of the luck of the draw. Comfortably in, because he was in Homa's group. But when he woke up, you know, yesterday morning, he was facing the worst case scenario. In other words, he had to re-get that body, start it up, play five holes, sit, rewarm the thing back up, and then play and ultimately play more than 18 holes. And in conditions that are off the charts difficult and will just wear you out. The play was slow yesterday because of the conditions. So that just puts more pressure on Tiger. But I'll tell you what, I was so impressed with him. He started showing some shades of the old Tiger. I mean, the shot he hit at 18 to save par, that chip shot, that's vintage Tiger.
Yeah. I look at Tiger had not like, I mean, not only is he in comfortably, but it just felt like there was never a doubt with him. Anytime that he maybe go down with a bogey here, he got it right back, it felt like. And you're right. Like, it felt, and again, vintage Tiger isn't shooting one over for the first two rounds, but it just had that feel to it where he was counted out. It looked like he may not make the cut at a certain point, but then once he got to a certain point in that second round, it was like, all right, it's go time. Because you're right. The amount of prep that he has to go through to get ready for a round is different than every other golfer on the tour right now. And he had to not only get his body ready to finish his first round. He played 23 holes yesterday.
He did.
And I thought there is no way that body's going to be able to, A, finish out the round late yesterday, or on that would have been Thursday, finish out the first round, because you're late getting out there. You got to get your body ready for the first five holes and then get it ready again for the next 18 after that on Friday. I thought there's no way this guy's going to be able to go out there, and he did it with ease. It was just a steady round from Tiger, and to be honest, steady is all you could have asked for yesterday.
Yep, and if you did stay steady, then you were winning half the battle right out of the start. But to your point with Tiger, he's got to get himself re-ramped up. He's kind of almost like a guy in the bullpen. You know, you bring him out, you can really only use him once a day. He hasn't played 23 holes and walked ever since the accident until yesterday. And watching him finish on Thursday, the last couple tee shots, he was pulling those left. And that's a sign that your lower body's tiring and getting that hip clearance, and now the top is coming across a little bit quicker, and so he was hitting those pull and the draws, so he gimped it in on Thursday, you know, a bit, and yesterday, though, he was able to finish, but finish in a way that I think will position himself to do quite well, and I don't think he's going to win this thing by any stretch, but I tell you what, a decent round today, and for sure he can finish in the top 10 and maybe even squeak into the top 5, but to win this thing, you got a guy named Scotty way out
there. Oh, boy. I mean, what he has done, and listen, the putter hasn't been kind to him. It's had its moments where it's looked all right, but yeah, I mean, his ball striking is just magnificent, and I don't know how he does it with the Scotty shuffle. I almost think he should putt, like shuffle his feet a little bit when he putts. Maybe it'll give him a little bit of a better look at it on the greens, but what he's done so far, he's made it look easy.
And he does it on surface that, well, yes, it's perfect in its agronomy, but when you throw some rain and a little bit of, you know, tilt and angle to the ground, and then you start shuffling those feet around, I'm surprised he doesn't slip and fall down at times. And I'm like, but what's amazing is the split second he is hitting the ball, both feet are anchored to the ground. It's the moment it ball comes off the club is when the foot starts to slide. Yeah. It's impeccable timing.
Yeah.
It just, you don't do that by playing once a week.
312-332-3776. If you want to join us here talking about the Masters and everything that you've seen this week, Dean is downtown. What's going on, Dean?
Hey, I had a quick golf question. I was just curious, first of all, as I was listening to the last show, did Shay Norling just drive in his sad sack self all the way to the State Street Studios for just a half an hour?
No, he was from home. He was working remote today.
Oh, thank God. I wouldn't want to ruin Shay Norling's morning. Yeah. So when I'm looking, I don't know a lot about golf, guys. I like betting on it. I'm looking, and it said yesterday that a hole-in-one in round three was like plus 800, and the hole-in-one in round four tomorrow is like plus 110 on my DraftKings app. Mm-hmm. Is that because the field is narrowed down, or is that because they're moving the pins around? Can you explain that to me, Tyler, and why it's such a differentiation between one day and the next on the odds to get a hole-in-one? That's my only question. I'm trying to figure out what bet to play. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, take you that. As well, Dean. It is what he was saying about the pin placement there. That's what's going to shift those odds for a hole-in-one.
Pretty much. And obviously the Sunday positions are unique, special, sometimes in a better way, but sometimes not. So, and they now know where they're going to be, and they know where they're going to be today. So I would say bet accordingly, Dean.
Yeah. I think too, like, and we're going to see it Sunday. There's going to be a guy who's in like 38th place, and CBS is going to cut to him, and you're going to be like, why is CBS cutting to this guy? That is why.
That's generally the case. Mm-hmm. Generally.
312-332-3776. If you want to join us, we'll talk some more Masters with you. Talk about the top of the field. And also, who's maybe lucky to be here right now that could take a little bit of a surge today on this moving day at the Masters? All that coming up next. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, this is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Talk Masters with you on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Talking some Masters with you as that cut line really moved. It looked like it was settled on four for the longest time. Then it moved back to five. And then before you knew it, the wind got it up to six. And that is where it sits today. A couple of players probably thinking that they were not going to be a part of these festivities today. You think about some guys like Hideki Matsuyama, who just teed off. He doubles on 18. Tom Kim doubled on 18, too. Looked like he wasn't going to make it. And then before you know it, he was a part of the field. And, I mean, even guys like Sahith Theegala didn't look like he was trending to make the cut. All of a sudden, not only did he make it, he's comfortably in. There were just a number of these guys that it just looked like weren't going to be a part of the fold today and now have a new life. And I think there's a couple of names in this group of guys who are four over to six over that could make a charge today and make some noise and maybe find themselves inside the top 20, top 15.
That's right. And I'll tell you, there was a moment on TV where they put notables who have missed the cut, missed, like it has already happened. And they listed Adam Scott. They listed everybody at four over at that point, including at that moment, Ricky Fowler. Even when Ricky got to six over, they said goodbye to him on the air. And he is back, thanks to Wyndham Clark. How funny is it? The wind in Wyndham. His situation at 17 in the bogey caused the plus sixes to all get in. So I would expect a lot of fruitcakes and thank you cards being sent to the Clark household.
By the way, some interesting comments from Wyndham Clark, maybe counting his chickens a little too early after round one.
Yeah, we got 54 holes, you know, and in LIV golf, that's they only play 54. So I like my chances. We got a lot of golf left. And as you can see, someone shot 7 under. I could do that tomorrow. So.
Boy. However,
golf can be a karmic beast, and that's exactly what happened.
When I read that, I said, "Oh boy, are you setting yourself up?" And sure enough, did he ever. But you bring up a great point. I think there are some people at the plus four, plus five, and maybe even plus six that could really make some noise. And the first and foremost is our past champion. I really thought he was out.
I did too.
Because I had picked him, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, are you kidding me? But the guy is resilient. He came back with a couple of back-to-back birdies after the double, and he got himself back into this thing. And I think he himself is thinking he just got some new life. And, you know, a lot of these LIV guys, they had 8 guys out of 13 make the cut, which I'm surprised that a couple that didn't make it, but I'm also surprised by a few that did. On one hand, I am a little bit surprised by Phil Mickelson, but on the other hand, I'm really not.
He's been steady, man, and he was great last year, finds himself inside the top 5 last year, and then he makes another cut this year, and boy, I mean, goes 73 on round one, which for round one, you take that, and then 75 yesterday, it's just good enough, and it felt like everybody just played just good enough yesterday, aside from, like, the guys that you see all the way at the top, but, like, It was rocky for Phil down the stretch. I mean, he goes bogey, bogey, and you think, oh, okay, things might get a little bit dicey here at 4. What happens if some of these later groups really start firing? But it was the complete opposite. You wanted to be going out earlier.
No, I think you did.
You wanted to be going out earlier, and you only wanted to be playing 18 holes yesterday.
That's the perfect scenario right there. But a guy like Phil Mickelson and a few of the others that could control the flight of the ball, because what you said earlier before the break is so true. You can find yourself in areas of that golf course yesterday where the wind is of very little concern because of where you are and because of the ability to flight the ball. But you start coming up a little bit higher, and if you only got a certain shot pattern or whatnot, that's where Masters and Augusta National is going to expose you, and it did for many. But a guy like a veteran like Phil Mickelson, the guy is as crafty and as creative and can control just about anything and everything. It's just whether or not he can putt, really. Mm-hmm. But he's been playing steady. He knows where to put it on the golf course, just like our man Tiger Woods. And can you believe this about Tiger? This is his 24th consecutive cut. And so
record.
Today he's playing his 99th round at Augusta. How many people do you know are going to play 100 rounds?
Right.
He will tomorrow, assuming, you know, doesn't get hurt or do anything silly like that. But imagine that, playing there 100 times competitively.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's insane. So Tiger, 1 over. Phil, 4 over. Who finishes higher? Because we've seen Tiger gets to this point, but then, like, yesterday usually is the plateau with what we've seen out of him. We've seen recently over the last, 2 years now, he'll get to Saturday, but once he gets to Saturday, things start to go south. Who finishes higher, Tiger or Phil?
Well, this is also the 23rd time this duo has made the cut together. Mm-hmm. I would have probably said, oh, Phil Mickelson easily, but not anymore. What I saw yesterday, I honestly think Tiger did the right thing not playing at the Players' Championship.
Yes.
He had Augusta on his mind from the very get-go, and he's been tunnel vision, hyper-focused on this event because I think this is where he stands his best chance, and we all know that. So I think he did the right and prudent thing in keeping that body fresh and strong. And that's what I saw yesterday, a stronger Tiger Woods in the way that he walked, in the way that he just, his posture, he didn't look like he was ailing. He didn't look like he had a chink in the armor. He started to look a little bit like Superman again.
He really did. And it was just like everything was so locked in with him yesterday. I mean, it was a laser focus out of Tiger Woods, and it was cool to see because it felt like some of that old Tiger magic was back to a degree. And he now, listen, I don't know how it's going to fit. I'm very intrigued by today because he's got a little bit of a later tee time,
yep,
a little bit more time to get rested and ready for today. I'm really intrigued to see how he finishes because this could go a number of ways. We could see him really channel some old Tiger magic, maybe get to like 3 under today and be right in the thick of things because who knows how the top of the board's going to shake out. A lot of rounds in the that weren't red yesterday for a lot of the top guys. And we could see this thing really get interesting come Sunday with Tiger Woods.
No question. And I go back to his press conference earlier in the week when the media was asking him about, you know, at what point do you really realize that you don't think you got the chance to really be in this thing anymore? And he was, you know, stone cold dead, just, I still think I can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that was it. And like, do I need to add any more to that? It was, I mean,
no.
He put that reporter back in his place, saying, how dare you ask that? Because I'm here and just watch this. And I think we're watching it. And that's what's so cool. You can never give up on this guy.
No, you really can't. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Masters with us when we come back, let's dissect the top of the leaderboard because it is a strong top of the board right now. And there could be a lot of shuffling between, I think. There's a number of guys that are still in this thing, too, that are maybe sitting one under right now and in outside the top 10. So we'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2. Also, you can watch us on YouTube as well. YouTube.com, search ESPN Chicago, and take us on the go as well with that ESPN Chicago app. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club. Experience a pure golf experience. So, let's take a look at the top of this leaderboard because I think it's fascinating. When you look at the names that we have atop, obviously you've got the three horses tied for first right now at 6 under. Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler. How about the round on Thursday by Bryson as well? And you brought it up to me during the break, and it's worth reiterating the fact that his irons get approved on Monday. Because he 3D prints them,
yep,
and they finally get approved on Monday, and he's still confident enough to go out and use them,
yeah,
at the biggest tournament of the year.
Yeah, apparently. Now, again, Bryson DeChambeau, one of the more outside-the-box thinkers you'll ever come across, mm-hmm, in your life, he went out and had this company 3D print irons. 3D. Usually, you pour, you know, liquid metal into molds and, mm-hmm, you know, there's a certain forging process that goes. This thing, what he did was absolutely unique and different. And the USGA last week deemed them illegal because the grooves were too narrow. So they worked feverishly over the weekend. And on Monday, they presented them again to the USGA and they stamped them approved. And he threw them in the bag and he shoots 65.
Yeah. Goes 65-73. That gets him to 6 under. He was as high as 8 under over the course of the last 2 days. Max Homa has just been steady. I mean, he's got a 67 and a 71, both very good rounds, especially given the conditions. But he has had some of the favorable conditions. We talked about that Tiger group. That was kind of the place you wanted to be. Max Homa was a part of that group.
Yep.
I'm interested to see how he does today in the last tee time of the day alongside Bryson. And then Scottie Scheffler, man. He goes out there, rocks the world in round one, and then in his second round goes even par. If he gets that putter going, though, this thing's going to be over very quickly.
Over.
I mean, it's very indicative when you look at the current odds to win. All three of those guys are all big names. Scottie, Max, Bryson, they're all big names, but Scottie's odds are significantly slimmer than the other two guys. He's currently plus 140 to take the whole thing, and then Bryson plus 450, Max plus 550.
Yeah, and I think the only thing that I think could get into Scottie's head a little bit is if Bryson and he are paired in the final group tomorrow. Then all of a sudden there's a live player in it, He feels maybe he's representing something more than just himself. And I'll tell you, Bryson's not a short hitter.
No.
So there's
372 for one of his drives yesterday.
So Scheffler has not been amongst him much at all in the last couple of years, and this is going to be a whole new potential experience. I think Scheffler's drawing today as to who he's playing with is a very favorable one for him, but it'll come down to tomorrow. But to your point, if he starts putting and putting, let's say, above average, this thing could be over before they get to the back nine on Sunday, and it could be just we're rewarding a Scottie Scheffler parade all the way through the back nine because he has this thing so easily in the bag. But I hope not. I hope we see a couple of very capable people, even one under. You know, I like a guy like Colin Morikawa.
He's just been steady, 71-70. And you look at Morikawa, he's got a track record of winning majors, so that's nothing new to him. There's a couple other guys on this leaderboard, too, that are fascinating to me. How about some of the young guys, like a Ludvig Åberg and what he's done early on here? He's 2 under right now, and even that, he probably feels like, I probably should be a little bit better right now because he kind of stumbled down to the finish with that with the bogey on 18. But he's right in the thick of things. That's one of the young guys. Tommy Fleetwood's there. Cam Smith, you can't rule out Cam Smith ever because of the putter. Patrick Reed's a guy who's won this thing before. Like, he's right there. Matthew Fitzpatrick has been a big hitter in some majors, too. So you've got all these guys that are sort of hovering right around even or one under right now that if they go out and really rip through this course today, you're going to find yourself in a nice spot for Sunday.
Yo, there's no doubt about that. And you bring up that point about Ludvig. I mean, remember, he's the only player in the field yesterday to break 70, and he bogeyed 18 to do it. So this guy is absolutely in control of things. And on a day where a rookie, you would expect him to just sort of lose it like we saw many, many of the veterans do, he was as calm and as cool. And you know what it shows? It shows that collegiate golf these days are turning out these players better than ever. They're playing in these junior ranks, and they already know how to go low, and they know how to be on these stages, so to speak. This he looked like a veteran yesterday, the way he conducted himself and the composure. So I look for that guy to do some really good things. But Hogard's a guy to keep an eye on because, to me, he's in the frying pan today a bit on moving day with his pairing. And Tommy Fleetwood, I'd love to see him win. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him win, and it's about time. I think he's worthy of being a major champion winner, and this may be a great golf course for him to do it.
Yeah, so Tommy's one of those guys where you'll see him in on leaderboards late in the turn, and then Saturdays usually are a little rough for him, but Sunday, when he gets like that early tee time, and he can really shoot up a leaderboard and find himself inside the top 10, but he's been steady so far. Usually we see kind of boom or bust rounds from Tommy Fleetwood, but that hasn't been the case so far.
No, it really hasn't, and he is one of the purest iron players in the field.
One of the best swings on the tour.
Oh, I could sit and just watch that thing for days on end. It's such a beautiful motion. But his fellow companion over on LIV, you brought him up, Cam Smith. And I'm going to tell you right now, that putter has kept him in this thing. Despite the conditions, he made a lot of key putts to keep himself at one under. And he could have easily been 4 under. A couple got away from him that were, for a guy like him, makeable. But his other colleague, Patrick Reed, sitting at dead even. That's a guy that a lot of people aren't going to talk about for the obvious reason. But the guy can flat out play. And he's been playing well over at LIV. He's won here before. He's from here. It wouldn't surprise me to see Patrick Reed go out and shoot 65 today.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Iowa Pat. What's going on, Pat?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, Mike and Tyler. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Living the dream, baby.
Oh, man. I got a couple things. I'm out on the Mississippi River here with my family. I got two things. One, cannot thank you guys enough for starting my Saturday mornings off on the right foot. You guys are incredible, and you just bring out the color of golf so eloquently. And through the CDGA, I got to experience the diabolical mind of Donald Ross down at French Lick. Holy cow. Secondly, I woke up this morning feeling good. I got a bold prediction. This guy's going to take it one shot at a time. He's going to let go and let God. And it's the British guy, Tommy Fleetwood Mac, is going to come charging along.
See?
Yeah.
Another Fleetwood Mac lover.
I know. He can get hot as a piston, but keep doing what you're doing, guys. You're growing the game of golf through the radio. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat. Appreciate the kind words there. Yeah, listen, he's right, man. Like, Tommy Fleetwood has just as good a chance of any of these guys because we know his ceiling is very high. Now, he hasn't done it before at a major, but he's been knocking on the doorstep for quite some time now, and it feels like he's in that group of and I'm trying to think of who else around here. Like, Max Homa, I think, is another good example of guys who have kind of been knocking on this door for a while now, and it's their time to get across the finish line. And listen, the Scotty is obviously going to be a very interesting watch over these next couple of days, because if the putter starts going, this thing could end very quick. This thing could end today, quite frankly.
It really could.
But at the same time, that stick just has not been in his bag. And if he continues to let people hang around, you never know who's going to get really hot on Sunday.
Exactly. And I think he is going to have his fair share of challenges with the flat stick over the next 2 days, just like anybody else would. These greens are so fast, and they were rolling at 14 yesterday. Okay, so 14, you throw in the wind, and then the sand is blowing on certain holes out of the bunker on top of the sand. That doesn't make the green any slower. It makes it faster, and that's why on some of these holes, especially 18, they were really struggling with their putters. But, you know, it is the Masters, and what happens is that people will move today. It is moving day, and there will be some big, big movements. Somebody's going to be going low that isn't in the first five or six names for sure, and they're going to find themselves in this thing tomorrow, and we'd be talking more about them versus who we're talking about today. It's just the way that it happens at Augusta. The venue brings this out of these players. And it's just like, it just all starts on that back nine tomorrow. I mean, it's cliche, yeah, but it's so true.
So, by the way, we are underway. Seven holes of golf have been played, already three birdies. So they are going kind of low now. Actually, I should say four birdies because Ricky bogeyed. So we have seen four out of the seven holes that have been played so far birdied in the early action today. Only a handful of groups already out on the course so far. Paulie's in Palm Beach. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, guys. Great show. I'm really starting to enjoy your show.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Here's what I don't enjoy. Walking into my country club here and being told that I can't watch the Masters for 5 hours. And I just got to listen to guys tell me, oh, look at this guy's under par. Oh, this guy just made a great putt. Oh, this woman's interviewing five different guys. What is pro golf doing? Why are they alienating? I'm not going to watch it now. I'm going to tape it. I got Oberg. If he wins, fine. Maybe I'll go back and watch it. But I'm going to tape it and go play and not care a bit about the Masters, where I've watched every Masters for the last 30 years. What are they doing to their viewership?
Listen, Paul.
Why do they hate their viewership?
I don't blame you. Listen, and appreciate the phone call, but like he's like, it sucks when you have to sit around, and if you don't have ESPN Plus, you're kind of screwed for the most part until 2 o'clock.
Yeah, you really are, and it is sad, and I do agree with him. It's unfortunate. You know, if you do have the streaming services, mm-hmm. you have to kind of go that route, and that's going to be the only way you could see what's going on now is right. through that, I guess, ESPN Plus, or, you know, you go to the Masters, you know, the live page.
Right.
And which I got to say, though, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's really good. And if you miss any shots, too, you can watch every single shot of the Masters on the Masters app or on their website, too. It is really cool. But Paulie is right. It is frustrating to not be able to watch the action as it's happening. And like, part of the reason why we love watching the action is leaderboard tracking and seeing the shot trackers on the live golf page. Like, that's part of why we like watching it. And you feel a little deprived from it when you have to watch some of these other rounds and the earlier portions as well on streaming services.
Yeah. And, you know, it's taken a long time for Augusta National to open up their, you know, willingness to allow us to see the front nine even. I mean, this used to be a telecast long before you were born, Tyler, that it was only the back nine. It was just a few hours, and you would not even see Thursday and Friday, period. I mean, so they have been, it's their own way of, you know, controlling what it is. It's a one-year agreement with CBS every year. It isn't like a 10-year agreement. It's a renewable year each year, and they don't pay much in the way of rights fees.
Right.
Because they choose not to. And they don't want CBS to feel like they have to put on a gazillion commercials to make up for it. They want to have a say in the production. They want to have a say in how the story is told, in a sense, through the eyes of a Jim Nance and the rest of the crew. But, you know, the caller brings up a good point. The rest of the PGA, I think they have ways of getting there if you go through Golf Channel and whatnot. But I don't know why the Masters, we only get to see it once a year, why they don't open it up a bit more for us. And I'm sure it all comes down to money and, you know, advertising, and CBS wants to protect how much content actually gets out there on the weekend and the whatnot. So it is frustrating. I agree with them. But, you know, he's in Palm Beach, and he's going to go out and play golf. So
yeah.
I don't feel too sorry for him.
Right. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here, we'll talk. We'll take more of your calls, talk some more Masters with you. We've got James Colgan, who is live at Augusta. He'll join us at 10 o'clock this morning. Looking forward to that conversation. He'd be good to talk about the coverage, because he's got the pulse of the media beat in the golf world as well. So we'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Weather in Augusta is going to be a little more cooperative today. You're not going to get the 20-30 mile per hour wind gust. It's looking like probably more, a little tamer, neighborhood of like 10 or so today. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. Already a little bit of a hot start for some people out there, as Hideki Matsuyama already 2 under for the day through 4. Russell Henley is 2 under through the day through 2, so he's really firing. A lot of birdies here early on, so it could be more favorable conditions, especially for some of these guys who know how to play the course. We could see some lower numbers each of these next 2 days.
Oh, yeah, and I think when you start to see the birdies by a Mr. Matsuyama early out of the gate like this, and Ricky's made a few birdies, he's got 3, you know, Luke List. So this is very telling. This means you can expect there's going to be some low scores today, which is going to be a good thing after we watched the carnage yesterday, which is kind of a fun thing from a viewer perspective.
Oh, yeah.
That was very,
very humanizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian Harmon.
Brian Harmon, folks, if you didn't know, he fired a smooth 47 yesterday and finished. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Triple, double, double. He went 6-6-6 to finish and 47.
Yeah.
There's a ton of CDGA members that'll beat him today. I guarantee it.
It was, that group with, like, I was surprised that Brooks Koepka didn't kill Brian Harmon on the course in cold blood, because you know Brooks wants to move through that golf course, especially on Thursday when his round was delayed and he was racing against daylight. And the thing holding him up between finishing the round and not was the pace of play of one Brian Harmon and his lefty waggles. And then you knew that Friday, I thought you would maybe see a little more animated Brooks, but that was not the case, because Harmon was out of this thing, on especially the way that he closed, like you mentioned there, and with that 47 on the second nine there to close things out. But it was just a disaster for the reigning British Open champion. And there were a couple surprising cuts this week. And guys who have done well at Augusta and won green jackets, like a Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland, Justin Thomas, like Sergio Garcia. Sergio was in the thick of things when even, and how many guys were right there on the first day and just ejected on day two? Sergio was there. Victor Hovland was there. Wyndham Clark. I mean, I'm not talking about guys who were like in position to make the cut. We were talking about guys who had a chance to maybe win this thing. And then all of a sudden, they didn't make the cut on a very generous cut line as well at six.
Exactly. And remember, when Victor stepped up to the 10th tee on Thursday, he had the lead. He was four under. He didn't make the cut. He didn't make the cut.
He came out firing, like you mentioned there. And then you got guys like Vijay Singh, who are still with us today.
Oh, wait, how about, let's give props to Jose Maria Olazabal at the ripe old age of 58 getting it done. Although he was a little backdoor entry a la Wyndham Clark, but he's playing.
He's in, and some of these other guys aren't.
And there's a lot, like JT, he went home, you know?
And he imploded. Oh, I mean, that is one of the more brutal ways, and it's these collapses now for JT. Was this back-to-back years or 2 and 3 years for JT where he just implodes down the stretch? And he was in prime position to close this thing out and get in pretty comfortably. Like, he was even on the 14th, and then he goes 7 over the final four holes and finds himself on a jet home on Saturday.
Yeah. And, I mean, there was just carnage everywhere. And then you have guys that just don't seem they care.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to Dustin Johnson?
That's his MO, right? Like, if things aren't going my way, I'm just going to tap around this thing and try to get out of here as fast as possible.
I mean, he was in the Group D in our Masters fantasy pool. Now I can see why. But he's a past champion, and he's been playing pretty well. But I tell you, to your point, if things get a little rocky, he just tends to say, you know what, I think I'm just going to head over to Myrtle Beach and spend the weekend there.
Yeah.
But I'm just shocked that I really thought he might do some good things here. But I'll tell you what, he was just never in it.
Yeah, he really wasn't. And it's not just he wasn't in it. His heart wasn't in it either.
His whole body language. I mean, it was like, I really don't want to be here. And maybe he didn't.
It's almost like the epitome of a front runner, right? Where if things aren't going well, he's going to bow out. And that's kind of been the way that he's played the game lately and for a good portion of his career too. And feels like once he did get some of those wins, it was just kind of like, all right, well, now let's see what I can do. And he's kind of just bowed out of some of these tournaments early. And you know within the first six holes if you're going to see Dustin Johnson on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the way that he plays.
But Brooks Koepka, you bring up another good point. Now today, the pace of play should be fairly normal.
Who's he with today? He is with Taylor Moore.
Yep, Taylor Moore. So they'll go. I know Tyrell Hatton was all upset about the pace of play yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. But today, I think we're going to get back to a good pace, you know, they'll be in rhythm, and I think they're going to put on a show. And I think it's going to be it's going to be a game of darts, too, because this golf course is now softened up a little, you know, and the place is perfect. And if they can keep that wind down, like you just said, wow, we could have some real fireworks today.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, by the way, Luke List on fire here early. He is 3 under through two.
That's
an eagle on two. So the guys are going low today. You're going to get to see some low scores today.
This is very telling and very foreshadowing as to what I think the afternoon is going to be giving us.
312-332-3776. Rudy's in Schererville. What's up, Rudy?
Hi, good morning, guys. Yesterday when I was watching, I don't know exactly what hole, but they showed Gary Woodman. He had about a six-footer, and he marked his ball there. He put his ball down, and then the wind blew it 25 feet down the green. And the announcer made a comment that Woodland had to put his foot down where the ball was. So am I assuming he can bring that ball back and put it from there? And if the opposite had happened, and the ball, 1,001, rolled in the cup, was wind blown into the cup. How does that work?
Well, as far as, you know, when the wind starts to blow, what they do is when the ball gets blown out of its position, the players have to agree that the ball was there.
Yeah.
If a ball gets blown into the cup like that, it's not going to count.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at least that's what I think. I'll have to look that up for sure. But this is why yesterday they were teetering on the edge. They almost had to pull them off. There were a few balls that were getting blown around.
Well, not just that, but how about some of the balls that were getting blown into the water?
Yeah.
Too. And like pulled down that way. And that, that can really ruin. And that's kind of why you saw a lot of these guys shoot in the mid to upper 70s and even some crack into the 80s yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, there were the expressions on a lot of faces after shots were hit and the disbelief and the arm gestures and the arm waving saying, you know, the wind blew in this way or it came in this way or, you know, there was just a lot of post-shot banter, disgust, and the having to control your emotions. And I'll tell you, for some of those guys, it isn't easy to do under all that pressure and duress. But you got to remember, you are at Augusta National, so behave accordingly. And it's funny when you watch when they open the gates. You know, there is a rule.
Yeah.
You cannot
run.
But I've never seen a fast-walking like race like that. And it's funny to watch, especially middle-aged guys just trying to walk fast for the first time in probably their life.
Yeah, it's like walking into Six Flags for adults. 312-332-3776. We'll talk more golf with you, more Masters with you. What will the winning score look like? We'll discuss when we come back. The segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking Masters with you. As round three, moving day Sunday, already underway. We've already seen some guys start firing low, including Luke List, who's 3 under through two today. He's having himself a nice round to get himself to 3 over for the tournament. But as we look at the way that today has started and kind of where we're sitting at right now through the first two rounds, you've got Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Scottie Scheffler all at 6 under. Nikolai Hogard is tied for, or is in sole possession of fourth place. He is 4 under. Cam Davis is a nice little story that's going right now. He's 3 under, tied with Colin Morikawa. Ludvig Åberg is 2 under, and then a bunch of players currently sitting at 1 under, including Cam Young, Tommy Fleetwood as well, Cam Smith, and Danny Willett. Boy, he probably thinks he should be in more of the Hogard, Davis, Morikawa range right now after his triple on 18. That's one that sticks with you. That's one that when you have to sleep, you'd almost rather that happen on like 12. But now you got to sleep on a triple on 18 that may have pulled you out. Now, I won't say pull you out of contention, but you don't feel like you're as in it as you were after you got off of the 17th green.
True. And I think, you know, that happening to Danny might be a blessing in disguise on certain levels, because I think he would have found himself up in a targeted group, if you will. And so he might fit more comfortably in the chase where he is now, you know, going into then Sunday. But time will tell. But making triple is going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. There is
a lot of triples.
A lot of triples. And you just don't see that out of
the doubles. A lot of triples.
And quads.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the other thing.
Spieth had his.
Yeah, and Spieth had his. And that's the second time he's made 9 on that hole in his career.
Wow.
He made a 9 in 2017, but he tied for 11th when he made that 9. Unfortunately, this time he's heading down I-20 or heading to his private jet, one of the two.
312-332-3776. So as we look at kind of how today has started, the weather seems pretty cooperative for the rest of the weekend. And I shouldn't even say cooperative, favorable, really.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I think all we can say is the golf and the weather is only going to get better from here on out till tomorrow night.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of high 70 scores, scores today. I think we're going to see things in much redder numbers. We're going to get back into more of the 60s in terms of the scores that we'll see out there on the course. You brought it up earlier. Ludwig was the only one to post a sub 70 yesterday. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that. We're going to see more of the scores that I think we saw on Thursday of Augusta and the Masters. I think we're going to get back to that, and maybe even a little bit better than that.
Absolutely. Yesterday's round created a scoring average of 75.08. It's the highest second round average since 2007. So I think we're going to see a heck of a lot more red numbers going up. No doubt about that. And, you know, we're in for, I think, one heck of a show. You know, the pace of play was so affected yesterday. There was a point, and I don't know if you saw this, but the Rory McIlroy, Scheffler, and Xander group waited 40 minutes. Wow. They clocked it on the 11th tee. They literally had a little powwow of the six of them, the three caddies. They were all just kind of hanging out, and, you know, Rory sat up on the I don't know, that bin that they have. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he just looked like a little kid swinging his legs, and they were just laughing, and they were having a great time. And in a weird, cool way, there was no microphone, so we couldn't hear what they were talking about. But it was cool to watch three of the world's greatest players just genuinely having a great time with each other. And in that moment, I mean, you're on the 11th tee in the second round of Augusta, and you're yucking it up with your friends. Does life get any better than that?
No. I don't think it does.
I mean, I'm looking at, they're living their best lives. Right. It's just amazing. So, but unfortunately, slow play caused it. But it would just gave us a different perspective and a unique look in, you know, on a Friday afternoon when, you know, the field's out there and everybody's struggling. But, yeah, I think today is going to be really, really cool. A lot of great numbers out early. So we have a lot to look forward to, you know, coming our way.
Yeah, I think we're in for a good day here, and not just today, but tomorrow as well. So as we kind of flesh out what the winning score could look like, and again, 60 players made the cut as well because of that late burst on 18 of doubles and triples that were coming in that kind of moved that cut line, not one, but two strokes in the final hour or so. But you look at what a winning score is going to look like. Right now, our leaders are all sitting at six. What are you feeling for a final winning score?
14 or 15.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be up there.
I think two of these guys at six under are going to go at least four or five under today. Mm-hmm. And then you got to figure they're in it for another three or four under, you know, again tomorrow.
Yeah,
because and it a guy could go five under, and that puts you at 16.
Yeah,
if they were to finish that strong.
So I'm looking to like
14 under.
Yeah, like Morikawa, could he go 66-66 to close this thing out, or like 65-67?
Yes,
close this thing out. Like that's, I'm with you. You're gonna have to get pretty low, and that's why I think the guys who maybe like just got in by the skin of their teeth, kind of on the misfortunes of others ejecting towards the close, probably aren't going to be much of a factor. You're going to be more trying to play your way into a top 10, top 15, top 20 finish. But the guys right now, like, do you think anybody who doesn't have a red number next to their name right now can win?
Do I think, can any of them win?
Can any, like, I'm talking about anyone that's even or worse right now, can they win?
Yes.
You think so?
I do.
You think they can get to, like,
yeah,
because by getting to 14 or 15 under, you're talking about a 7 and an 8 under for consecutive days.
Well, I do actually think that we will have a 63 or a 64 today.
Interesting.
I really do, because these guys, it's kind of like they've had a batting donut on their bat for the last 2 days. Now the wind goes down. The conditions are going to be favorable. They can now be in their short sleeve shirts. They don't have to wear everything that they own, weather-wise, umbrellas, towel, no distractions. Let's just go play this place and let's have some fun. And 63 is the course record right now. It wouldn't surprise if we have a tied record, or at least, you know, somebody putting to tie the record today. That I would expect. I really do. And I think there's going to be a several 66s and 65s in the mix as well. And I think if you're not going low today, you're going backwards.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be just the polar opposite of yesterday. We had 8 rounds over 80 yesterday and 1 under 70. So I think we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful day of execution and wizardry and creativity and just flat out awesome golf. And it's what this golf course does to this field every year. And it can play, it's kind of like the ocean. It can be like a lake and a pond. It's so gentle, so serene, but it can also be ferocious. And I think we're going to see the tale of those two this over the course of the 4 days.
312-332-3776. You want to talk Masters with us, join us here on the CDGA Golf Show. When we come back, the top of the leaderboard, Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Scottie Scheffler. Let's place those three. How will they finish among the three of them? We'll do that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, we're talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, usually on until 11 a.m., but today off a little bit early for White Sox baseball. If you missed any of our conversation earlier, you can check it out on the ESPN Chicago app, on the CDGA Golf Show tab, or wherever you get your podcasts as well. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. Our buddy James Colgan from golf.com will join us in about 10 minutes. He's down at Augusta. We will break down everything that he's seen, including a wild close to day two. But as we sort of get through the top of this leaderboard right now, you've got Max Homa, you've got Bryson DeChambeau, and you've got Scottie Scheffler all sitting square at 6 under. They've all gotten to 6 under in very different fashions as well, which I think is the interesting part of all this. You got guys like Bryson and Scottie who went low on the first day, and then day two, Bryson won over, Scottie even. Max has been under both days. He goes 5 under, 1 under to get himself to 6 under. But you look at both of the ways that these guys have sort of attacked the golf course. If I was to tell you this is a three-man tournament between Homa, DeChambeau, and Scheffler right now, how are you sorting those three?
Well, if I go back on experience, I would actually have to go DeChambeau, Scheffler, yeah. Homa, because you remember, he's a U.S. amateur winner. He was also the lowest amateur at Augusta, Bryson was, and he's a U.S. Open winner. He's at the prime of his life. He hits it a mile. And I think this golf course for him on a rather calm day like they're going to have plays into his style of game better than anybody. Because I think he can now distance himself literally with tee shots, allowing himself to go in with a lot lower club and being able to get the ball easier in places on the green where his putter is going to work. I mean, he is such a tactician. And if there are no other outside influences or variables that he can't control, in other words, the more that Bryson can control, the more I think it plays into his hands. Mm-hmm. And I think because of what happened back in June 6th, his mindset, and he's the kind of personality that likes when everybody's getting along. That's kind of how he is. Brilliant man, friendly guy. And I think now that there's less animosity, it feels like regular Masters again, maybe not 100%, but a heck of a lot better than it was last year with the us versus them. It was like the Hatfield and the McCoys kind of got together for dinner. And but this year, totally different. And there is a vibe. There is a feel. I watched the engagement of the LIV players and the PGA Tour players, whether it's on the practice rounds. And again, going back to the Masters app, you can just clue in on players, areas of the golf course, and the practice range. And the practice range really showed me that the players all want this to be to go away. Mm-hmm. They want to come together. They do have a general like and regard for one another for the most part. So I just think that, to answer your question, Bryson, in my mind right now with the 36 holes to go, I just give him a slight edge. Scheffler's a major winner. Obviously has won here, so I give him the two spot. Homa needs to win a major. Hasn't done it yet. And would it surprise me if Max comes through? Not at all. It's only a matter of when he's going to win. It's not a question of if Max is going to win. He's got the game. He's got the personality. He's got the mindset. So it's good. I'll tell you what, you just have those three alone play. That's a heck of a fun event to watch.
You know what's funny about Bryson? He exited the PGA Tour as a villain, right? He was this beefy guy who is just a golfer bro, but had the analytics in the back of his mind the entire time, just trying to hit the ball as far as he can and basically play dump and chase golf. And I look at how he has come back for the majors and specifically with the Masters. Usually when we talk about guys who have gone to live, it's been in a vilified fashion. But it feels like Bryson's actually lost a villain label since going to live, which is interesting. And maybe it's because, A, he looks like a completely different human being.
He does.
He is completely slimmed down. He's not on his protein shake exclusive diet, it feels like, anymore. Like, he looks like a different human out there. And I don't know what it is, but it feels like, for a guy who was a villain on the PGA Tour, it feels like he's shed that label despite going over to live.
I totally agree with you. In fact, I would go so far as to say he's moved from the villain title to character.
Yes.
Because
endearing.
He's endearing. He's different. He's fascinating. He does things that are so different on the golf course and off the golf course. I mean, he's the only player on tour that's playing with every club in his bag is the length of a 6-iron.
I was going to say, though, I feel like that's going to piss people off if he does win. The fact that he had to use clubs that literally got approved on Monday.
Well, you know, again, he's playing by the rules. He had him approved.
Yeah.
But
you know how, like, the PGA Tour does that, like, what's in the bag after all the major wins? Like, that's gonna anger some people.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to be one of one. Mm-hmm. Of the companies playing that particular brand. I think it's Aveo or something like that. But anyway, I think Bryson has turned himself more of a fascinating character, a guy that you want to like and you're just interested. He's must-watch TV. I put him in the same category as the old Chichi Rodriguez. He wasn't a villain. He was a character. He was fun to watch. And every time he was in there, you waited for him to go into his shtick after he made a putt and do the sword and the whole thing and clean it off with a handkerchief. I mean, we don't have any of those personalities anymore on the tour. They seem to have gone all over to live. Villains, yeah, but so did some of the characters, too.
For sure.
And I think we have a lot of vanilla right now on the tour. And so I think a guy like Bryson DeChambeau is a welcomed addition when this comes back together, saying, yes, he actually makes our product better. Mm-hmm.
In terms of how I would order them, I would just flip your top two. I'll go Scotty 1, Bryson 2, Homa 3 among those guys. And for very similar reasons, like, Homa just hasn't done it yet.
Exactly.
And I don't get me wrong, I'm rooting like hell that he does. But right now, when you're going up against Bryson, who's striking the ball as well as anybody, and Scotty, now it is worth noting, Max Homa's had the more consistent rounds of the three guys. So it's going to be fascinating to watch today because of the fact that the early returns on the golf course is that everyone's going low. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing shakes out on Saturday. All right, we're going to check in with our buddy James Colgan. He is down at Augusta.
Can't wait.
And he's got a nice little surprise for us as well.
This is unbelievable.
That is going to be coming up in 3 minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.